leadership at the top of the Department of Defense believes the United States military is in danger of losing its technological edge over the rest of the world. Frank Kendall's talked about that extensively, as well as Secretary Hagel and Undersecretary Work and others. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller reports the Defense Department's already trying to save money by changing its acquisition policies for major projects in the technology development phase. That story's up now on federalnewsradio.com. Sean Brimley's Executive Vice President and Director of Studies at the Center for a New American Security. He is co-director of their new Beyond Offset project. That project will look at ways the military can maintain its edge. Sean, it's great to have you on the program. Congratulations to you and your co-director, Ben Fitzgerald, a multi-time guest on the program. It's wonderful to talk to you. What is the Beyond Offset project, and what do you want it to produce?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And the Beyond Offset project is sort of a wonky think tank title, but I think for those inside the Pentagon who are sort of seized with this military technical superiority question, it's really kind of a riff on what was done in the late 1970s. So some of your listeners would probably recall, in the late 1970s, it became apparent that the Soviet Union had reached, you know, nuclear parity with the United States. And that posed a serious problem for us on the battlefield, you know, what would have been the battlefields of Europe, because the Soviets also had a huge quantitative edge. They had mass tanks and mass armored formations that could roll into Eastern Europe. And so at the time, the Department of Defense was quite concerned about maintaining their deterrent, maintaining, you know, stability, and maintaining the credibility with our NATO allies and partners. And so at the time, Undersecretary Bill Perry, who later became Secretary of Defense in the 90s, but he perceived this, and he directed, along with what became DARPA, he directed a series of studies that looked at things that eventually became the stealth bomber, computer networking, the global positioning system, and a series of other, at the time, sounded sort of technologies that were fantastical. But they invested in a series of these technologies because they wanted to develop a qualitative military edge, a way to offset that Soviet, you know, numerical advantage. And of course, you know, we know now that all those technologies came to fruition. They were really effective in places like the Persian Gulf and the 1991 Gulf War. And we've essentially been riding on that legacy of those prescient investments for the better part, or for more than a quarter century. And so I think what Deputy Secretary Bob Work is doing in the Pentagon is they're now detecting a similar kind of challenge in the way that states like China are investing in very advanced technologies. And so they're looking for ways to respond to that challenge, and they're sort of reaching back in history to try to duplicate the kind of success that happened in the late 70s, early 80s.
Very wise to do that, I think, Sean. But back then, one difference was that it was pretty much us versus the Soviets. China was not on an ascendant path, and we certainly didn't see the kind of insurgent organizations that we see in the Islamic fundamentalist world that we see now. The main thing we worried about was a big bang of some sort against the Russians, the Soviets at that time. How does that landscape being different today inform or modify the way that you might go about approaching something like the Offset Project?
It's a good question. I mean, one of the challenges in sort of defense strategy and planning is, you know, you start to line up all these challenges as you just did, and it seems extremely foreboding and complicated, and how could you ever wrap your hands around it? One of the ways that I would argue the Pentagon sort of focus its conversation is to look at a series of specific challenges. So, for instance, if you look at the East Asia Pacific region, some of the investments China is making in very accurate long-range anti-ship ballistic missiles, sort of missiles that can take off from the east coast of China, and they're guided missiles. And if you launch enough of those missiles, you could overwhelm, say, a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group, and really essentially deter the United States from operating those kinds of military capabilities in ways that can be effective in a contingency, or ways that might buttress our allies and partners, and really kind of destabilize the military balance in the Pacific. And so One of the things I know the Pentagon is doing is they're looking at that operational challenge, and they're trying to figure out technological solutions and different ways of doing business and different ways of operating that can address those kinds of challenges. And I think that's just one slice. There's probably another couple of things. You mentioned ISIS. Some of the investments we've made in special operations and night vision and ISR, those are the kinds of things that are tactically effective against insurgent groups like that. But one of the things we ought to be thinking about is, unmanned aerial vehicles, and how do we actually deploy those things? How do we make them, more effective and less expensive? All of these questions they're dealing with right now, because there's a feeling inside the Pentagon that we have a window of opportunity in the next 2, 3, 4 years. In some ways, the budget pressure the Pentagon is feeling is sort of helping with this, in the sense that they understand they need to make some hard decisions. They understand they need to be strategy driven, and that business as usual is not strategically effective, and nor is it financially possible.
Sean Brimley of the Center for a New American Security. Sean, do you worry that there might be a tendency, when we look at technological capability and maintaining the edge, that we start to try to fit the mission to the technology rather than the reverse?
Yes, that's a classic sort of American problem. We're sort of a country of technologists, and if you look back in the history of the way that the United States has thought about defense strategy and the practice of warfare, there is that problem. And so you need leadership in the Pentagon who understand the need to invest and maintain our technological edge, but who also understand that at the end of the day, war is a human business, that it has serious consequences, and that at the end of the day, this is really about making sure that the human beings that we put in uniform and the human beings that we ask to go into harm's way in the future are buttressed by these technological advantages, and they're not replaced by it.
The reason that I focus on that is because when we look at the landscape of especially counterinsurgency, and we think about I think about IEDs that were made with technology that is centuries old and loaded with junk like nails that was whatever metal somebody could scrape up and throw in the canister, it seems. Mm-hmm. And countering that just with technology and not with a strategy that goes along with it might wind up being an Achilles heel.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, when we're talking about maintaining a military technological edge, there's an assumption here, which you're rightly pointing out, that we're going to use that military technological edge to pursue a strategy that makes sense, right? So no technology is ever going to allow the United States to prosecute a bad strategy. And so technology is not the solution to all of our military challenges, but it's a critical component of giving our folks in uniform the tools they need to succeed in the future.
So your website says the Beyond Offset Project aims to build a community of interest that will examine the challenges of U.S. technology strategy and advance candidate solutions for the Pentagon and industry. Who would you like to hear from? Who would you like to participate in this conversation, Sean?
We would love for everyone to participate in this conversation. Now that I've left, government service, I've discovered Twitter, and you can use the Beyond Offset hashtag, and we're sort of trying to develop a community of interest of folks. We have more than a decade of war. We have an entire generation of national security professionals and military professionals who are seized with these problems. They've served in Afghanistan, they've served in Iraq, but they're also looking to places like Asia. They're grappling with these military challenges, and the Pentagon and the whole community needs help. And so the aim of this project is not necessarily to come up with a manifesto or the strategy, the solution, but it's to sort of generate a community of interest that folks can learn and meet with one another and sort of walk down this path together of making sure, both from the Pentagon's perspective, but from Capitol Hill and from industry, that there's a shared understanding of what the challenges are, and advance some kind of candidate solutions down the road.
And do you have a timeline for doing that, or will you just know them when you see them, Sean?
Well, we'll come up with a series of reports. We'll do a conference in June here at CNAS to sort of publicize where we are on these things. But the way I see it is, one of the more effective things that think tanks can do is not necessarily publish reports or come up with solutions, but to be part of an ongoing conversation. And so, we will publish things on websites. We'll do some reports, but it's really about making sure that we sort of generate a debate and generate a resonance outside of the Pentagon where we can all participate in this discussion.